God bless you. You may be seated. It is good to be here. And these two gentlemen before me did not leave anything. They left no stone unturned. My goodness. We went from Genesis to Revelation with this gentleman right here. That was totally awesome. And then we went to Calvary. I so much wanted to change midstream, and man, I'll tell you what, if I felt any release at all in the Holy Ghost, I would go ahead and check it out. But I asked God, I said, Lord, I said, you definitely dealt with me today, but maybe this is just for me. And I did let it have its way in my life today. Now, I'm not saying the work is complete, but I did allow the Spirit to work in me. But then I asked God, I shouldn't have done it, I asked God to go ahead and just speak to me exactly what you want to do, me to do. And my good friend, Brother Mark Grisham, came over and he just whispered to me down here. He said, go ahead and obey the Lord. And I know that that did not mean to do what I felt I'd like to do. But I knew that those words meant to say what the Lord has laid on me to say. I've already determined in my heart not to preach this message in its entirety. I have a word from the Lord that ought not take but a few minutes. And I do want to speak to you tonight from Judges chapter 12. And thank you, both of the brothers Shirley's, for inviting me to this meeting. And it is good to see all these people gathered out here. And we have stopped just long enough to get a little old-fashioned. And not get into some deep program, but to enjoy good old-fashioned preaching. And you've never heard any better than what you've heard it.
Amen.
I would be a fool to get caught up with competing with either of these two. That is certainly not my desire. But I have already determined in my heart to obey the Holy Ghost. And I'll speak to you tonight for a few moments. Praise the name of the Lord. Judges chapter 12, verse 4. Through 6. Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead smote Ephraim because they said, Ye Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites. And the Gileadites took the passages of Jordan before the Ephraimites, and it was so that when those Ephraimites which were escaped said, let me go over, that the men of Gilead said unto him, art thou an Ephraimite? If he said, nay, then said they unto them, say now, Shibboleth. And he said, Sibboleth, for he could not frame to pronounce it right. Then they took him and slew him at the passage of Jordan, and there fell at that time of the Ephraimites 42,000. I ask you, Jesus, to use us for your glory. We come in total sincerity and humility before your throne. Stretch forth your hand and touch our hearts. In the name of Jesus, I determine to do one thing tonight, to obey your voice and to take a step out in faith and speak to this people on what I feel is the will of God for this service. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord one more time? Blessed be His holy, holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless you. You may be seated. The Lord gave this to me today, so just bear with me. Anybody at all who can see this world and what's happening knows that there's a war on. I have not come to glorify the devil, to give him any attention and to gratify him and his host of demons in any way, but I do want to tell you that there is a war raging. Somebody has got to answer the call to battle. Somebody has got to get a little more concerned with just trying to get their own carcass inside the gates of heaven. I am not belittling heaven. That's what this is all about. This is not making the grade. This is the greatest thing that we can achieve. And He's coming for those who have made themselves ready, who love and look for His appearing. I am not preaching that it's wrong to desire to go to heaven. That would be foolish. But sometimes we get so homesick for heaven, we're no earthly good, and we've never been this homesick before. Sometimes we want to sprout rings at wings and just fly away. We want to forget about the nasty now and now and try to slip into the sweet by and by. And all we get is leaving on our mind. But the reason why we are still here, and I want to remind you that we are still here, is because there is a God who knows everything and He knows what He is doing. Everything is on schedule. Nothing is out of whack. Nothing is out of step. One man in 1988 told us that Jesus would return Rosh Hashanah of 88. But we're still here. And if God allows us another 8 years, it'll be the year of 2000. And I did not expect to be here. But the purpose of this is to step out of the boat and challenge the storm that's rocking our vessel and realize that we don't have to be just concerned with just making it to the other side. But before we get to the other side, we can walk in realms and dimensions of the Spirit that have been untainted by men of God in the past. Because the greatest move of God is yet to come. I am so grieved tonight. I am so heavy burdened. I have heard some of the best preaching I have ever heard. But the Lord has allowed me to come to speak to you tonight in this fashion. And I hope that you will join with the Spirit. And hopefully I am hitting the nail on the head. Because I have missed before in the past. And more than likely I will miss in the future. Which proves that it's hard to see perfectly when you're looking through a glass darkly. But one day we'll see Him for what He is and we'll know as we are known. But until then I have got to strive in the flesh to work in the Spirit. And let me just say that it's the men of the boat never get talked about. They never become targets of cynicism, criticism, or skepticism. But let somebody get the intestinal fortitude to get out of that boat. And all of a sudden they begin to get super spiritual. And the most notorious gift in our movement is suspicion. And they say, I knew he was in for a downfall. I knew it was only a matter of time that he was going to sink. But Jesus did not condemn, He commended. Oh God, let us learn the difference between commendation and condemnation. It's not a condemning remark when He said, Oh thou of little faith. He's more than likely making reference to the guys in the boat. If this man has little faith, what about the men who never took one step? I need all the meetings I can get. I'm at the mercy of every pastor. I'm not trying to be a rebel at heart. But I'm going to preach it tonight and tell you this. Men who talk about gifts of the Spirit do not get attacked. But men who will do their best and utmost to try to operate in them will become targets. There is a war raging. And I hope, and I don't say this in a vulgar way, but I hope in the name of God we know who our enemy is. And let me make it clear. I believe this doctrine the same as you do. I cut my teeth on this, and every revival meeting that I'm in, I always make it plain, and you pastors who have preached me know there is no compromise with me and the sinners. But I've realized you've got to get that cart behind the horse. And Acts 2 and 38 was not his text on the day of Pentecost. It was his altar call. His text was Joel chapter 2 when he spoke of manifestation and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. It takes the Spirit of God to draw them. If you just convert them to your religion, you have not made a saint. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build. This has got to be a work and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. We do not want converts, we want babies. Please give me a little more on these monitors. The Lord spoke tonight, and this was no premeditated tongue and interpretation, interpretation of tongues. Did not come planning to say this, but the Holy Ghost moved on me so strong that if I've ever spoke under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, this was it. That the work that we are designed to see is external. And I don't think that there's many more people in this place that love signs, wonders, and miracles more than I do. I have dedicated my life to it. And I will continue to do it even if there is never a market for it again. This thing works better outdoors than it does indoors anyhow. Jesus Christ was never confined to a building, nor did He let them barricade Him in one. He took it to the streets. Hallelujah. We really think we're building buildings for God. No, you're building yourself a real nice shelter. He does not live in them. You are His house. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. But the Lord said before we can see the external, we have got to put emphasis right and see the internal healing. And I want to say that I don't believe that God is raising up a superman, but a super church with signs, wonders, and miracles following. These signs shall follow them that believe. But it is my heartfelt opinion that before these gifts can be restored to their full potential, there has got to be an inward healing take place within the body of Christ. Jephthah is battling the Ammonites, but he has a problem. Not everybody in his camp is true blue. There are some who are pretenders and phonies. So he puts them through the speech test. Say shibboleth. They tried their best to frame their mouth right to say it, but something says these guys are not bona fide citizens of Israel. They don't belong here. Something in your life is going to reveal who and what you are. I hope that we recognize our enemy. And I hope to goodness that we have no enemies in the camp tonight. If the devil can get on the inside and keep this thing apart from the inside, God help us. I want to ask you, who are you and what are you? Friend or foe? In journalism, the five basic rules or questions asked is who, what, when, where, why. I want to ask you a few questions. Who are you promoting? Who are you exalting? What are you seeking first? Why do you rejoice? I mean, are you trying to put yourself in the limelight, or are you decreasing so that He can increase? What's the first thing you seek? Fine clothes, the automobile, the status symbols that will tell people you are successful in the ministry. There was a day if you wanted to pull a good offering for yourself, just wear shoes with holes in the bottom of them. You do that now, they'll look at you and say, if you were successful, you would wear something a lot better. And I want to say this, that worn-out shoes are not the mark of humility. But what is it that you're seeking? Is it the size of congregation you want to do your evangelistic work in? Or are you seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and allowing all these other things to be added to you when it's time to receive them? Why do you rejoice? Because when God allows you to be used some in power gifts and you see some miracles and you may even cast out a demon, this causes a thrill in you? Or do you rejoice simply because the final frontier is conquered, called death? I've never seen such a power-hungry church in all the ages that I've been a part of it. I want the power of God, but I don't want to rejoice because I can exercise some spiritual ability. I don't want to get my highs. And another thing, why are you anointed? Why do you want to be anointed? Because it's a charge, it's a sensation, it's a high, it freaks you out for a moment? Or can you say like him, I know why I'm anointed. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and He has anointed me because He wants me to set at liberty them that are bruised, recovering of sight to the blind, to preach the acceptable year. That's why He has anointed me. Let me ask you tonight, what is your reward? What will be your reward? What tells you that you have been successful? Because your phone never stops ringing? Or your calendar's full? Or can you say like Paul, what is my reward then? Barely that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak. I could stop right here and say, man, we can preach, but sometimes when we learn how to preach, we don't worship with other preachers. To them, to the weak became I weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker with you. Somewhere an ulterior motive will surface. If you are not bona fide, true blue, if you have not been born in this, and this has been born in you, it's going to show up. Last year in the month of August, I stood beside one of the biggest televangelists in our world. The Holy Ghost moved on me to give him a prophecy, and at the end of the prophecy, here's what it said. You were nothing, and God raised you up. And if you are going to reach this country, you had better be real. About 5 or 6 months later, he was forced to cancel his television broadcast. I am telling you that God is in the business of cleaning up the church, but before He does, it has got to begin in the ministry. I think it's time for me just about to quit this. Put these away and just preach to you for about 5 minutes in closing. I just want to know, are you real or are you pretending? Are you really one of us? Do you really believe this? They tried to say it right. They tried to do it right. But it was not in them. You could tell it was pretension. And James tells us, doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine fig? So can no fountain yield salt water and fresh? Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. I want to see if you're real or not. And I want to ask me, am I really real? But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. What I'm trying to say is God does everything in balance. He's got 9 gifts over here, but 9 fruit here. And whatever happened, where did the emphasis go from love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance? I've got one thing to say to you young men in closing, and that is this. God help us if we bite and devour one another. We will never reach our generation and never get this job done. And I want to say this, that I want you and myself to be real can possibly be. And I'm not saying there isn't any sham amongst us. But I do want to say this. I am very concerned as a young man when men are raised up and begin to be used of God. And all of a sudden a spirit of gossip comes. And we don't pray. We don't try the spirit. We don't discern. Instead we talk. And it is killing us. And it is getting a hold of us, our young men. And it's putting a cancer inside their spirit. I've never seen it like this before. I just want to ask you, who are you? I'm not wanting to see
another move like they had in Latter Rain either. I never lived in that day. But I've heard about it. And here's my sum total of what I've heard. It was a move of God in the beginning, but it got aborted. It no longer became Bible-oriented. The spoken word had preeminence over the written word. And I will tell you, as I tell people every night, that the prophecies God uses to give me words of wisdom and knowledge in the oral gifts are fallible. They are not perfect. But this word is infallible. This word cannot fail. Heaven and earth will pass away, but His word will stand forever. It became people professing without possessing. And a shame that it happened. But we did not learn from that, because total abstinence is not the remedy. And I know that in the televangelist world, and I know it may be somewhat in our movement in the UPC, there may be a lot of sham and a lot of pretentious things happening that really are not a move of God. It's somebody being pressured to operate a certain way because somebody else has been successful at doing it. But don't tell me that the way to help this is for those who are being used of God to back off. And in the name of God, if you've been exposed to sham, don't push those who are being used of God back into the dark ages and say the UPC is not ready for you yet. Why are you in this? Are you my friend or my foe? And my enemies are not the denominational world. My enemies is not a pastor across town. And oh God, restore ethics back in this movement. You can say I'm overstepping my authority if you want to, and overstepping my age bracket. But I've come to tell you what thus saith the Lord. I want to say something that's cutting edge. I want to say something that God is doing today. And what He's doing is, He's trying to melt the hearts of His people down and join them together. Brethren, you gentlemen have done it tonight. I'm sorry I couldn't be here for another conference. I just flew in from Illinois last night. And tonight, one of the reasons why I can't go much more is because I'm as tired as you are. So therefore, you're in good shape tonight. You've got a tired preacher. I am totally bushed. I am wiped out. But conferences where we join together just to strike out at something we just don't see eye to eye with. Just let me ask you. Jesus told the disciples of John, when even him got a little bit doubtful. Jesus said, tell John, the lame walk, the blind see. Tell them that the deaf hear, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Jesus said, if I by the finger of God cast out demons, the hand of God is commanding you. He said, don't be so stupid. If Beelzebub cast himself out, his house will fall. And then a few scriptures down, he said, speak anything you want to against the Son of Man. But if you say anything against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven you. I have a warning to our constituency, and I hope it goes via tape from East Coast to the West and to the mission countries. Let us be careful, lest happily we be found to fight against God. He is trying to raise us up in this end time, and He's trying to bring on a group of young preachers. But the devil's only chance to stop it is to get discord amongst the brethren. Open your mouth and speak and let me know if you are of the right nationality or not. Just tell me, are you true blue? Because if you're my brother, you won't kill me. If you're my brother, you won't shoot me in the back. If you're my brother, when you hear something about me, you won't go to the pastor across town. If you're my brother, you won't steal my sheep. If you're my brother, You won't let your ego get out of control and you mutilate me? Because you think I'm successful. I've got a beautiful wife at the back of this building that I've only seen 7 days in March because of traveling overseas. Do you think this is glorious? Help me up, brother. Man, I like your music. We could drive a few spirits away. I love Brother Kraft. Man, I love him. I love Brother Shirley. I love you older men who have allowed me to step in your pulpit. Thank you very much. I appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. We need you. We need those who know what's real to say. Brethren, just a second. There may be a lot of unreal things happening in our churches. Maybe there are wolves who have crept in sheep's clothing. But brethren, let's not kill it. Folks, I am so burdened because I have been in this thing just long enough to get beyond the novelty of praying for the sick, and I don't do it for my health. I just stood in Pakistan and they've been around the world several times. I stood there and was surrounded by a crowd of poor people. I wasn't going to get a big meeting to preach out of that. There was no offering involved. They bought a little baby who was born with polio. Legs were twisted, just as tight as they could be. Never had walked. Picked that child up, and folks, I tell you, this is the reason why I'm in this. You are my crown of rejoicing. The person who has given up when they walk in the aisle and give Jesus a chance and they get the Holy Ghost. And I want to reiterate, these gentlemen, there's nothing greater than the Holy Ghost. But let me also say, Jesus does not just heal to make unbelievers believers. When He heals His precious saints, it is an extension of His love for you. I picked that little child up and I said, God, there's no one here to see this. I said, oh, great, compassionate God, would you touched this little child, all of a sudden limbs that were bound by polio were instantly loosed and she walked. And I want to say this. You need to put emphasis where they belong. Don't seek just the gifts. Seek the giver of gifts. Not just the healing, but the healer. Not just miracles, but the miracle worker. But I'm just trying to say that I've come to do my part in this meeting and to tell you that somehow we got to get unified. And there's nothing worse than a gossip in spirit. And it had a hold of me in good shape. I've run from church to church and I've gossiped in the past. There was guile in my mouth. The same mouth that was supposed to speak under the anointing of God was bringing forth salt water too, and this ought not to be. I was saying that I was your brother. You know what it's like to have someone say something. Folks, I just want to say this, and I'm not putting myself up on a pedestal, but if I had any other motive for being in this, I wouldn't be in it anymore because I've been crucified. They say, is it ESP? Mental telepathy? Dear God, folks, if the devil has gone to mending homes, setting lies feet on drugs, perversion, and alcohol, and then telling that soul to seek Jesus with all the hearts, he's done been converted, and he's not so bad after all. But the devil does not cast himself out. People see us, and I don't need to look in nobody's eye. It's the light of the body, and any time I look into their eyes, because I want to see response. But some people, it don't help because you're using the word of knowledge, and they're just standing there. And you're saying, I'm missing this completely. Then all of a sudden, they say, you're right on. No expression. That's the only reason why I've done that. I can turn my back to them. If it's God. If I get an unction. If I try to do this in myself, then it will become mentality. You never try to do this in yourself. You wait for the anointing to come upon you. If there was any other reason, I wouldn't do it. But the reason why I'm still here. And I want to let you know something. I'm still here. And if no other meetings, if my cancel gets, and I sure hope that God don't test me on this, but if my calendar gets canceled,
Where He leads me, I will follow. What He feeds me, I will swallow. But what a, do you mean it when you call me brother? Do you really mean it when we say we're part of the family? Man, I see hurting people here tonight. It's not Morton Bustard. I see people here who are going through it more than I am. It's just another area of ministry you're going through it in. You wanted to have revival, and when you had it, you were attacked by those who don't want it. They have an attitude of us for no more. When are we going to stop? You know, I believe that God wants to move us in revival in warp speed, but we're not greased right, and we're probably going to burn out with friction. Man, I feel friction in our movement. It's good to belong to this movement, but cannot we possess enough autonomy that if you have prayed and fasted and God tells you to do something and you do it? Now, it does not injure the doctrine or the bylaws that is in our movement, but you just want to have revival. Why crucify the man?
Right.
Man, oh man. Don't become a proselyter. Learn how to reach the lost. And if you can't reach the lost, go find another walk of life. Because preachers that don't pray become entertainers. And we sacrifice power for hype. But if you say we're a family, just tell me, do you mean it? Because I was just hit hard. And I'm not going to bring that, but I was just hit hard. But then again, I hear in the words of the Master, He was despised, and He told us to expect nothing else. But His hatred, the hatred against Jesus, was not from the world, but it was from the church. Folks, if you'll study, the religious sect called the Pharisees pushed the government with their pull to have Him crucified. So in essence, religion killed Jesus. And religion's going to kill all the Jesus you have. I dare you to have the guts to look at the next person who uses your ears for trash cans and say no. I dare you. I've got a few secret disciples. There's a few men that I dearly love. And I don't have to bring his name up, but Richard Gazowski is my best friend. Man, I love that guy. But his name is a real good word around Shoney's restaurant. Is the boy crazy or what? And they asked me the other day, why does he wear tennis shoes? He lives in San Francisco and he's overweight and they're much more comfortable, and therefore he'll not sacrifice comfort for peer pressure. He walks around in comfort. And there's nothing, no scripture against that. And I can mention a whole lot of other names. I'm not going to, but I'm just saying, you say we're a family, but I've got a wife and two kids, and I would lay my life down for them tonight. He called you His family, and He laid down His life for you. Sister Freeman was just in Africa a few months ago. All of a sudden, the power of God enveloped her like she had never felt it. And she looked at Tecla Marion and she said, what is this that I'm feeling? He said, Sister Freeman, you are feeling perfect unity. On the last night of this conference, please, let's not fight it internally. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Our adversary is the devil. Please, let's have no enemies in the camp tonight. I need you to help me. I need to help you. I've got no business trying to do this all by myself. I've got to play the game with the other players. But please, let's be brothers and sisters. Father, I pray for some hurting heart. Heal them. I pray, God, if there's any amongst us who have their swords drawn, let it put it back in the sheaths. And let us recognize who our enemy is. God, just do one thing. Make us all true blue. And let us work while it is day, for the night cometh, when no man can see to work. Reach over to your brother. Reach over to your sister. Thank you for letting me do as I found in the Holy Ghost. Just make us one. Just make us one. Take our ulterior motives. Take the need or the want to be important away from us.